Where do you go for comics new and old?
Garage sales?
Wrong! Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars?
In magazines, mostly.
Wrong again! And where do you go to see the best in cosplay?
Well, there are lots of different options if you're looking for something...
So incredibly wrong! Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. Meet Star Trek star William Shatner and Hellboy's Ron Perlman July 13th through the 15th in Boise, Idaho. Then, meet Gotham stars Robin Lord Taylor and Sean Pertwee August 3rd through the 5th in Winston-Salem. Then, meet Guardian stars Dave Bautista and Pom Clementia and the Winter Soldier Sebastian Stan August 23rd through the 26th in Chicago, Illinois. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout.
No space.
To get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix?
The internet?
Oh, good answer.
Really?
No! Wizard World Comic Con.
Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Well, hello out there, everybody. This is Winnie the Pooh, and Tigger, too, and also some guy named Jim Cummings. You're not going to believe this, but you are listening to the Canned Air Podcast. Good job. Keep it up.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Jake Runyon.
And darn it, we're tired this week, people. We're so tired. The summer has us out running around, catching those rays. I know it's got me worn out. What about you guys?
This and that, you know, this summer and that. Obligations.
Yeah,
coming
right. Well, we're busy is what we're getting at. So what we're going to leave you with is still nothing short of a good episode.
Nice.
Something
one of our best, I think.
Yeah, and it's already out there in one format on our YouTube page. But and I strongly recommend, even if you do listen to this, go check that out. Get the visual effect. See what we look like, right?
Handsome.
Handsome gentleman's club here.
That's right.
But no, we were invited to do a set at the Columbus Podcast Festival 2018. When was that? May
12th, I think.
Yes,
like
correct. In downtown Columbus, and it was our first live show, and my God, were we ever nervous.
Dude, the lead-up was rough, yeah. But then actually doing it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Wasn't it just a weight off the shoulders?
Yeah.
One, I think we did awesome, but, I mean, we'll leave that to the listeners to determine, but I felt like we really, that was a big success, for sure.
Walking off stage was like getting out of prison. I was like, yes. I'm free. I got a whole new life ahead of me.
But we did another show since then, the
yes,
Wizard World
yes,
show.
We did.
And, you know, again, there were really no nerves this time.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah. So
really got it all out of the way on that first.
We're professionals now.
Oh,
mind you, the audience was kind of small due to some errors in programming and saying what room it was in.
A short time frame.
Right. Yeah,
this is what an underselling band might call an intimate performance.
Yeah.
And we're referring to the Wizard World one, not
the
Columbus Podcast Festival. We had a bit bigger audience there, and boy, it was just a good time, and we just want to let you listen to it now. But before we do that, Jake,
you should probably head to Twitter. I mean, I'm not your dad, but I think it would benefit you greatly to follow us at CandairPod. See all of our show links, fun videos and GIFs, images that catch my fancy. Mind you, this is filtered through my sense of humor. It does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Candair as a corporate entity. Then head on down to Instagram.
Head on down to Instagram,
where we are at canned_air, and we do much the same thing, but in a more picture-centric way. And if you like what we do, head to Patreon and throw a couple of bucks a month our way. It goes much further than you'd think, and if you reach that $5 threshold, you have access to the Founders Club Patreon exclusive pod.
There it is in a nice package. Thank you, Jake. And
you're welcome.
Wizard World. Did you already say Wizard World?
I did not.
If you're going to a Wizard World convention, who's coming up there, Jack? We got
Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. Yes, if you're heading out to that convention.
That's this weekend, actually, when the show posts. It'll be this weekend.
So you'll have just enough time. You last-minute people. I think there's a lot of last-minute ticket buyers. I know I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So use Candair with no space at checkout and get 10% off your ticket price. Come on. They're expensive, right?
What do you have to lose?
Nothing. Wizard doesn't get pissed for me constantly going, those tickets are expensive, man.
Come so on. Pricey.
They know it. They do it for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. So let Candair get you back on that one. But all right, with that behind us, let's just dive right into our very first live performance at the Columbus Podcast Festival.
All right. Welcome to Columbus Podcast Festival, presented by Kaufman Development, where high design and a sense of belonging come together for a truly special place to live. This afternoon, we have with us the Canned Air podcast, which is a tribute to comics and pop culture. I read that. Photos and videos are welcome. Feel free. Just no flash photography. Also, if you want to upload anything on social media, use hashtag Columbus Podfest. Remember, this is a live recording, so act alive. Feel free to... Right, that's it. Feel free to laugh. Feel free to, you know, put in, clap, applaud, you know, respond, okay? Don't feel like you have to be quiet because they won't be. So they're not the only ones who get to, you know, make noise in here. You guys get to as well. And with that said, I would like to welcome Canned Air.
Hello, 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 everyone. I gotta say, there are more people here than I expected to show up.
Fully eight more. That's a huge fully eight more.
No, thanks, everyone, for coming out. This is the very first live episode we've ever done, so nerves are running a little high, but bear with us. I think we're going to get through this together.
Agreed.
We are the Canned Air Podcast, as Man and Sign have already told you. But what we do is a tribute to comics and pop culture, and we're going to be talking just that through some segments that we've put together, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. So, Jake, where can these people find us on social media?
It's so easy, guys. We make it as simple as possible for you to give us all of your money. head on down to Twitter, where we are at CannedAirPod, and Instagram, where we are at Canned_Air. You can see all the funny jokes I tweet and gram out on a daily basis, something I'm more or less proud of. And if you like what we do, we are on Patreon. So toss a couple of bucks a month our way. If you hit that $5 or more mark, you get access to the Founders Club, exclusive Patreon pod. Very swanky, very high life.
And by swanky, we mean unprepared. We take no preparation into that show, but for some reason, people like it.
So easily our least professional record.
Right. Another question we always get that I think we just need to address right off the top is, why Canned Air? You're talking about comics, pop culture. Why Canned Air? Who here likes Mel Brooks and has seen Spaceballs? Exactly. So you all remember the scene where Scroob, President Scroob, right? Is that right? Is sucking on the can of air. Come on. That's
it's
where
that
we got.
Simple. We want to be your air supply.
What? Get in here.
Love it. See, that's the connection we got here. But we typically always have a guest on the show as well that, you know, we just invite along to have fun and promote their project. We don't have said guest today, so we want you all to be our guest. If during any time during the show we say something you want to comment on, please feel free to raise your hand or just yell it out. That's fine.
Okay. If you want to form a line in the center, that's also okay.
Right behind the black pole here.
Yeah.
Behind the pole, yeah.
So he goes first.
What we're going to be doing is opening up the show with our very first segment called the Retro Roundtable, where we look back over pop culture and we choose a person, like actor, actress, movie, events, television shows, anything.
Video games.
Exactly. And we choose something to springboard a conversation that typically lasts most of the episode, and I think is our best segment we offer,
right?
I
agree.
Right?
It's the one everyone can get down on.
Everyone's going to be getting down on it. That's right, Jack. But what we're going to be doing for this one is looking back over the month of May in pop culture history. Significant events that have happened in May, we're just going to talk about right here with you. And I think when talking nerd culture and talking May, something comes on everyone's mind. There it is. Yeah. May the force be with you. Thank you so
there's
much.
There's no dancing around it. You just got to barrel straight.
I'm glad she said that, not something else to make me look like it. Thank you so much. You're awesome.
Oh, Margaret Thatcher's birthday. Like,
that's my favorite.
But yes, May the 4th be with you. It was this month in 1977 that the original Star Wars was released. So, gentlemen, I thought we could open this show up talking about Star Wars. Where do we begin?
Let's do.
I was thinking one thing that always comes up on the show is Star Wars fatigue. Ever since Disney has acquired Star Wars, too much Star Wars. Am I wrong
in
this?
It's the definition of a first world problem. So much of a good thing that we're getting tired of. It's like eating cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. You know, objectively, you're so lucky, but God, can't we have something a little different one year?
I think I would be excited about Solo right now if we didn't have too much Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I, don't get me wrong, I want to see it, but I'm in no hurry. Isn't it out? Did it already come out? Was it yesterday? Or
no, the tickets are on sale. It's coming out pretty soon.
Okay, I was wrong. Excuse
me. It's like getting back from Disney World, and your parents are like, we're going to Universal. I'm like, that's awesome, but just give me a few days to even out. I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm getting the phone out here, not because I don't care about you guys, but just because we have to keep an eye on time, you know? Make sure we space out these segments accordingly. What about The Last Jedi? I mean, this was something that when it came out really took the wind out of my sails for Star Wars.
The word divisive comes to mind.
And I know it can be a hot button topic to talk about sometimes because some people absolutely loved The Last Jedi. Did anyone in here love it?
Did you? Yeah.
I need to turn my attention to you two then. What was so great about it? Why did you love it? Sure.
Well, it made that was nice. Sense for a lot of other reasons. It was awesome to see.
A lot of redeemable qualities. Yeah.
And I tell you what, the hyperspace suicide thing was like a hauntingly beautiful scene.
Yeah,
the combination of the visual and just the eerie silence was amazing.
Even though theaters had to tell the audience that there was a 10-second scene where there was no audio because people thought that the audio went broke.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time they honor the reality of no sound in space and people lose their minds.
Yeah.
What's it going had on? A lot of redeemable qualities,
I think.
For sure. I liked at the end. Has anyone in here not seen it yet? Are we doing okay. Okay.
Shame.
See, I don't want to spoil this for you guys. Well, damn.
It's just big enough that she'll
oh, crap, man, the pressure's on now. One thing about the Star Wars movies, for all these years, it's been at its core about a family, about the Skywalker family, right?
Ruining the galaxy.
Ruining the galaxy, yeah. Correct, yes. This last one seemed to really divert away from that. I'm sorry, I hope that's not too much of a spoiler. Okay, cool. And to you over there, I'm sorry. Are you crying? Okay, no. Okay.
He ruined it for me.
But there is a restroom just to the left if you need a moment.
You know, for my understanding is that after the 9 movies are finished, that's going to complete this arc and that they're going to start a whole nother main story arc. I don't know if anyone else has heard that or not. I take it you haven't.
They're going to...
Exactly. There's too much we're having to swallow right now. I'm sorry, Jack, you were saying.
The new one's going to be based on the Resistance.
Like with any of the same characters from the...
I don't know. I just saw a title and didn't go much farther.
The Resistance.
Yeah.
There you have it.
We're going to see it. I mean, as much as we sit here and bitch
That's
about Star
thing.
Wars, we're going to go see all of them, right?
When push comes to shove, they already have our money. If there was like some kind of Star Wars loyalty program, we'd have the little numbers punched out already and we'd be getting our free sandwiches.
I don't know, man. Like every Star Wars movie up until Solo, I've been all about until Last Jedi. And it was just, we left so...
It burned me.
What's the word? Disappointed,
underwhelmed,
obviously. Underwhelmed. Thank you. But
yeah,
very much
sure.
So.
Really,
how about when Laura? Oh, see.
And the T-Rex.
Let's not forget the Mormon part. Oh no.
Yes.
Right. But just the fact that they're trying to divert away from the Skywalker story is just a kick in the stomach for me.
Like, it's brave. And, like, from an artistic sort of directorial standpoint, I understand the motivation to challenge your viewers, right? That's the phrase that gets thrown around, I think, in the critical circles. It's a very challenging Star Wars movie. But they didn't sell it that way. They sold it as a Star Wars film. And you come into a movie like that with a certain set of expectations. And it's not that it didn't meet them. It's that it had this near fanatical need to subvert them.
Exactly.
Thematically, yes, everything came down to break the cycle, buck the trends, all of this. And yet watching the movie, all I can think is, no, you didn't break the cycle. You reset it with characters no one's particularly interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get the mission statement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I feel like you mentioned, the Skywalker family and how that's the core of the series, which I totally agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the characters no one's particularly invested in. I feel like they had a really good opportunity with Rey to connect her in sort of an adoptive way.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
A surrogate father figure in Luke, obviously.
Sure.
But everyone was hoping for it, too.
And then
that's what I loved about it. It told everyone, screw you, you were all wrong.
But you can't make a movie around that. You can't make a movie around that.
I feel like you could do that to an extent. Like, there are a lot of really great, mentor-student movies. I mean, they had literally the entire Swamp's entire, multiple scenes was basically just Luke learning not to be an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like it would have been really, personally, I would have loved to see a similar thing with Rey actually learning from and interacting with more. That was sort of the expectation that I,
mm-hmm.
not an expectation, more like a really far away hope.
Sure.
Can we actually have a really cool female character with an important connection to the main storyline?
Despite how this movie turns out, I think Rey is fantastic. What a great character.
She's
I think we can all agree on that.
Tragically underutilized character is the issue. Yeah.
But just, everyone's heard the fact that she can learn everything so quickly. What was the term, yeah. Brooke? A Mary Sue.
Mary Sue.
She was a Mary Sue.
Yeah,
where,
absolutely.
You know, with her training on the island, you're absolutely right. To see more of that relationship would have been amazing. But you get a few quick scenes of her throwing a lightsaber around.
Yeah,
that's really about it. She's mastered it. She's got it down.
You need a montage.
A montage.
He also learns things really quickly. I mean, he's a sharp kid. But we believe it because there are those important emotional connections,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, with the other characters. So you're like, oh, he learned this because it was important to the relationship with other characters, A, and B, just the movement in general. Whereas
mm-hmm.
Rey, I don't really feel that as much with her. It's we need to learn this thing, sort of grind her character, get her to level 20 before she takes
Right, sure.
And you can kind of forgive it with Kylo because his theme is that he's so powerful and that he can't even wield his own capability. So you get behind it oh, he's a weapon. You know, they sell him this nuclear bomb. He's barely contained. Every time something goes wrong, he obliterates something expensive. You know, you don't want to be his subordinate because he needs to choke people to unconsciousness to relieve tension. But
just love how blatant they were with him saying exactly what the director's thinking the whole movie. Kill the past, destroy it if you have to,
right.
You know?
That was pretty much. And then they don't, you know?
They got rid of the Skywalker storyline, and that could have gone, like you were saying, in a more interesting way, but it didn't, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what if somebody was taking on the next installment of Lord of the Rings and telling us that everything that came before didn't matter? I mean,
get this, it's 2018, it's set in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You get six dudes, find a ring.
Going back to Rey.
Hey, yo, Frodo!
Yeah.
Going back to Rey, her last name's Mary Sue.
It's an expression. She's a bit of a Mary Sue, someone that is able to master something right away.
She's got.
Are you just messing with me here?
No, I have.
Okay.
No, I've never heard that term before.
She's got plot armor, right?
I'm gonna overuse it.
She's invulnerable because the story needs her.
We find in Episode 9 the whole time it was Rey Mary Sue Skywalker.
What?
What was that? Another thing I hated was the fact that Disney is making its presence known in our Star Wars movies.
Mm.
You know, they're also behind the Marvel movies we all love so much, but they do a great job
of
keeping themselves away
approach.
From it. The
yeah.
only thing you see is that credit crawl at the end, at the very end, a Walt Disney production. Right. But in The Last Jedi, the Canto Bight scene. Damn it. I don't want to spoil this. No, you have done nothing wrong. I should have prepared for you.
There is a
that's
scar
my fault,
on my
you.
Heart that reads Canto Bight.
There
scene.
Are just, there are two moments in that scene that I'm not going to mention, but are straight ripoffs out of Disney movies. There was something out of Beauty and the Beast, maybe two things
oh,
that
sure.
were straight out
yeah.
of Beauty and
mm-hmm.
the Beast.
There's some unforgivably Disney thematic moments that make you stop and go, there's no way that just happened. And
right.
Sure enough.
Right. And yeah.
Putting Mickey in it for one was the worst.
Yeah,
part.
I think that was a ballsy move, don't get me wrong. But.
Right, for sure. Anything else on The Last Jedi before we move on? From the audience, nothing?
It was great.
No, that was a go-ahead gesture.
Go ahead.
Perfect.
Wonderful. I'm sorry, I only caught half of the go-ahead gesture. I just, okay. And not to say that we hated the movie. You know,
yeah,
we're sitting here making it sound like, oh, we hated the trash. No, we it was good. It was entertaining. I've watched it since I've seen it in the theater, but. Yeah.
Bad pizza is still pizza.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think Star Wars is also going to kind of bleed into our next thing that happened in May. 1989, Disney MGM opened its doors to the public.
Yeah.
So I thought we could talk a little bit about amusement parks and Star Wars involvement with the Magic Kingdom bringing on the Star Wars universe or land or
you
whatever
know,
they're calling
it. I'm so excited to see this Star Wars-themed attraction, but I've got to temper that with this scenario in my head where you've got, like, Star Wars super fans lecturing toddlers at every corner of every exhibit. It's like, you know, actually, the X-Wing's foils don't contract in this formation. And it just
right.
on and on and on.
Isn't Star Wars Land going to be taking place in Naboo?
What I saw didn't look like Naboo. I mean, the concepts, what I saw was very rock-oriented. Naboo was green
was
fields
lush,
and stuff.
Yeah.
It was kind of a bad idea I take from the prequels that nobody liked.
Oh, no,
model
no, no,
the
no.
whole Star Wars land after that.
No, it looked like a landing, like a cargo bay for the Millennium Falcon,
oh, cool.
At least the main area where that ride is going to be. And that ride is going to be awesome. It's going to make me sick as hell, but it's going to be awesome.
This is literally only related to the prequels. Would you guys like to hear my Star Wars crime?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Why not?
Please.
The first movie I saw was the first of the prequels. No, you were two, I think.
So wait, Phantom Menace was your first Star Wars movie you ever
oh,
saw.
No.
Wow, okay.
I latched on to Jar Jar Binks like he was some sort of like northern star or something.
Right.
That was all I would talk about.
That's why they had him, so they could reel in the little kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it wasn't until like middle school discovering, oh, internet, there's like more to do than videos here? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And reading like, my best friend. No one likes him.
Yeah.
That's not a crime. You are the victim in this scenario.
Yeah.
All right? You got roped in, your impressionable young mind. That's
and it's funny, too, because if you look back on, like, YouTube, and we've played it many times on our shows, to, like, people, the news being at the theater opening night when the fans come out and just person after person spilling over, oh, better than the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And then over time, you know, to where we are now, it's like the most hated. It's up there with Last Jedi. No. I didn't hate Last Jedi that much, but.
But that's the thing about it, though, is in the moment, you're like, yes, this mm-hmm. is Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like the sugar rush.
And when you have a news reporter coming up to you saying, what do you think? And
it's great.
In your face,
of course it's going to be
you're
good.
Not going to
yeah.
be like, fucking sucked.
You know? Yes.
I think a lot of people have their own thought about like how the Star Wars movie should be made.
Exactly.
So, like, you going in the theater and be like, it better do this, and then it didn't do that, and then you're just pissed off.
Which, you know, I'm not. I don't care about having my hopes.
Same thing goes with Marvel, too.
Dashed. That's true. I don't care about having, you know, what I anticipate being taken out from under me or anything. I actually encourage it. It makes for a more
sure.
interesting movie if I can't predict it. But it has to be relevant to the story.
Yeah.
It can't just be a movie about contradicting what the fans are thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And how many times have we said, you know, like, we can do all this speculation before this movie, before that movie, before Infinity War, before Last Jedi. When the chips are down, none of it's going to matter because they're probably going to pull something out of left field. And
right.
in some situations, that's incredible. And we walk away going like, oh, I didn't see it coming. And in others, you're like, oh, did I really know better than the directors and the producers of this film?
They had to take that path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Infinity War was, yeah, you mentioned that. That was so, so good. So
it's,
little mistakes.
I feel like they're on two ends of a spectrum. Last Jedi and Infinity War in terms of what the fans expected versus what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And Infinity War locked in like a laser beam and just hit that part of your brain for 2.5 hours. Last Jedi was trying to skirt around. It's like, what about these cool concepts? And you're like,
right.
no, I want Star Wars. And it's just, it doesn't work.
Just sprayed with the machine gun all over. I think we'll hit
right.
something good somewhere.
Seriously. The scattergun approach, everybody's favorite. That's where the money is.
So aside from the Millennium Falcon ride that we all have been told we're going to get in the Star Wars land, I'm kind of curious what else we can expect.
Blue milk.
Oh, my God. Oh, kind of leads exactly into what I was going to say. I'm hoping there's an adult section, like the cantina, with where all the aliens drinking and stuff.
I hope the dispenser is exactly from the teat of the monster.
Oh, no.
That'll be amazing. That'd be
good. You have to milk your own blue milk.
Bring your own. You can buy a bottle.
Oh, exactly. Awesome. Wouldn't that be so cool?
What a misstep if they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if they make a hotel where the beds are actually the, what was it, that Luke got inside?
Oh, yeah. The Bacta tank or something?
Han Solo, the carbonite.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't make for a comfortable night of sleep. Just
you too can be killed.
Just stiff people walking around.
As long as they don't play the same dun 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 dun, dun in the cantina 24/7.
I hope they extend the loop a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to play it.
Yeah.
It's the Star Wars equivalent of the small world, right?
Yeah. But if you're in there with a guest and you're, you know, a friend and you're having a drink and about 20 minutes in, you're like, okay, you know.
But then an hour later, like, it'll come back around. Yeah. Just give it a second.
Right, exactly.
They'll pipe that same music through all of Star Wars land. So everyone will be walking around. Dun, 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 dun.
Everyone in lockstep.
In unison at that.
No.
Right. Another thing that I know excites Jake and I pretty much about amusement parks are the gift shops.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine how awesome the gift shop is going to be.
That's
going to
be the place to get things to make your friends jealous about.
I'm a huge Simpsons fan.
For a small fortune.
And when we went to the Universal Springfield, you know, it was cool to do the ride, eat it. It was cool to eat at Krusty Burger. It was horrible food. I don't know if they were trying just to be true to the show.
Yeah.
Awful. Don't eat there. Go to Cletus's Chicken Shack if you ever go. Much better food.
And if you've been to Universal, I think we're all pretty much in agreement. Springfield is like the coolest part of that whole operation. Mm. Something about the charm and feel of that. Oh, God.
People would argue Harry Potter.
That's a close second. That's a the best. That it, like
I'm
the
with
Forbidden Flight or whatever in the Hogwarts Castle.
I'm with Jake. The Simpsons was definitely the highlight of the visit. Harry Potter was definitely awesome, but there were so many people, like shoulder to shoulder. You could like lift your feet and still just move around Diagon Alley. There were so many people.
I got lucky when I was there because
that way you don't get tired.
Oh, yeah. It was a convenience.
Just
I just
bend
didn't
your knees,
recognize.
It'll be like a conveyor.
Anything else you guys think we might be able to expect out of a Star Wars themed amusement park?
I don't know if I expect this, but mm-hmm. I'm hoping for some kind of Rancor fight sort of deal.
Ooh.
I want that to factor in. I want some kind of death pit full of strange monsters.
Podracer Lazy River.
Oh, my God. That is perfect.
That is perfect. I want the little holographic monster chest set up.
I heard they were making that, actually. Like, there's a...
Yeah, dude. Play the hell out of that.
Even better.
I have no idea how to play it, but I'll try it.
No.
We'll have to write some letters to Disney, I think.
If there's a Wookiee, you know how to handle it, so...
It's like a Jedi.
That probably will be
they
for the little kids.
They actually have that now. It's not in that land, but like little kids can go up, get their lightsaber after their parents fork down $500. I mean, I don't think it's really that much, but it's Disney. You're getting gouged, right? Yeah. But some Jedi's come out and say, wave it to the right, wave it to the left. You're
the
a master
kids
now.
Just stand there,
And then a Darth Vader comes out and kind of stands menacing in the corner, and that's... Exactly. Yeah. Like a pinata. They beat the hell out of him.
They go through so many.
Exactly.
He's already dead.
Right.
In the, like, secret tunnels underneath.
There you go. Got like six Vaders limping around, bleeding.
Right. One thing I thought we could do up here, since we're talking about amusement parks, and maybe talk about some of our favorite experiences or memories at amusement parks, guys.
I got a horrific one.
Let's hear it.
Oh, boy.
When I was little, we went to Santa Cruz, and I was too small. I didn't come up to the line, so I couldn't ride anything. Aww. Except for one ride was, I believe they called it the Himalaya. And it was just the small ride that goes up and down in a circle. I was excited because that was the only ride I could get on. So my mom and I jumped on there. It started going. I was getting crushed by my mom because of the centrifugal force, the way it works. And they stopped and said, all right, who's ready to go backwards? And everyone said, yay, anyone not want to go? Boom.
You know, I had a very similar experience. My dad put me on, was it the Beastie, I think, at Kings Island?
Oh, I remember the Beastie. That was my
miniature
first roller
version.
Coaster.
Mine, too, at way too young an age. And it has... kept me from getting on a roller coaster ever since. It was horrifying. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only wimp here.
Dude, I got the t-shirt. I was hyped. Because it had the little... Because the Beast had the talons with the chains.
Yes, yes,
Beastie
yes.
had the paws with the ropes. It was everything goes down a tier.
And it still scared the hell out of me. Yeah.
You know, I... That was the first and only roller coaster I'd been on. I went there when I was really young. I enjoyed the Beastie. Mm-hmm. So I had this idea in my head, like, roller coasters, not so bad. I can handle this. Then we went to, what's it, Cedar Point has Millennium Force?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was telling my dad, like, let's take this slow. I want to hit all the coasters. I want to hit them in sequence. I want to know what to expect. And then we met, like, some family friends, like, yo, we're going in line in the Millennium Force if you want to come. My dad's like, sure, come on. I'm like...
Yeah, Millennium Force is a whole different beast. Forget no pun that. Intended yeah. on that.
I babbled like a lunatic for, like, the half hour wish. By the time I got to the... My only saving grace is that it was the dead of night, so I couldn't see the fall in front of me. I only got to feel it. So, like, the anticipation is so much worse than actually doing it, so.
So you got to ride the best roller coaster.
I did, yeah. My second coaster ever.
It's very much...
Raptor.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's how the Jurassic Park
You have the right
was.
To be wrong. It's another problem.
The Jurassic Park ride in Universal, very much the same the way, greatest, where you're yeah. looking up at a T-Rex yelling at your face as you're dropped hundreds of feet.
I pulled the same thing my dad did to me. My sister hates roller coasters. She is deathly terrified. We went on a little tour in Disneyland that took you through the interior of Space Mountain without getting on the coaster.
Oh, nice.
She hyperventilated thinking it was going to connect to the coaster somehow. So it's not cool for her. She's not down. We went to Universal for her birthday, and I'm like, we have to go on the Jurassic Park ride. It's going to be the best. She's like, it looks like a roller coaster. I'm like, no, it's like a little tour. You look at the dinosaurs. It's like a log flume thing. We've done that before. In my defense, I didn't realize. And so we're going through and like, oh, there's a hole in the fence. The raptors are loose. And I'm like, see, isn't this cool? And she's like, yeah, I guess it's okay. Then we got to the building with the strobe lights and the T-Rex, you know. And the T-Rex is so cool.
Oh,
the way it
amazing.
Looms over you and shrieks at
Doesn't
you.
Doesn't it kind of like lunge forward
oh, yeah,
out of the
like,
darkness at you as well?
You know, because
like...
you're cresting that hill, which
right.
I didn't realize. And
you weren't alone.
Yeah, I was turning to her. I was going to be like, hey, look at the T-Rex. Isn't this cool? And then... And I was like, and like, it was a little intense for me. So I remember we hit and the water splashed and she had her mouth open. If she had been breathing, she may have drowned. But fortunately, her entire system locked up on the way down. So she was okay.
Oh, the poor thing.
It took a minute or two of like sitting down and consoling her after
Coaxing
the ride.
And prying yeah. and right, sure.
I don't know. I bought her an ice cream or something. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But
I'm definitely on the different spectrum. Like, because... Top Thrill Dragster, have you ever rode that?
Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I hate roller coasters, that's the one, for some reason, I want to try.
I might be the only one that rides that ride and hopes that it doesn't go all the way around the first time.
What, the hell's wrong with you?
Off, straight up.
I want to go backwards, and then I'll do it again.
Well, I can see that. I can see that. I mean, you can just get in line again and try to do it again that way, but... No, I don't know what it is about that. It looks so attractive to me, especially when I hate roller coasters. When the Beastie scarred me, what is it about this one?
Engines, it's all of that. It's just when you get up to it, it's like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then when it goes off, you hear, like, the screech of the top.
Sure.
Like, really
and it's over so quick,
speed,
too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You can see the bay.
I can't imagine the view of the park at that moment. It's going to be like, oh, wow, look at
wow.
that.
Yeah, so serene.
That's about how much time you have. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's
terrifying, though, when it's stuck on top, though. And then
oh, they love hanging you over the edge.
Oh.
The first time I was on it, I was on top, and they were like, it's going to take a minute, because it was, like, stuck or whatever, and there's just a storm coming in, and there's lightning. I was like, I'm going to die up here.
This is it.
That's a fair thought. That's a fair thought. You know,
she's a ghost.
Metal coaster.
Perfect.
Yeah. Winning combination, isn't it?
You have rubber soles.
Yeah, yeah.
I took my shoes off before I flip flops. I was like,
barefoot coaster riding is the way to do it. Yes. That's the way to do it.
Old, I think they call that Louisiana style.
Trees.
Has anybody ever seen the Incredible Hulk roller coaster at Universal Studios? Ooh, see this
I
thing twists you up, down, turns you sideways, and doesn't even buy you dinner.
Yes.
And it scares the ever-living shit out of me. Now
I didn't have the strength. I passed it up when I was there.
We went with my graduating class. We went in 2000. to Universal Studios. And as soon as me and my friends got in the front door, the first thing they wanted to do was the Incredible Hulk ride. It's like, son of a bitch, what am I going to do? Do I stand in line for 2 hours to humor them and then, you know, waste half of my day? Or should I just go off do my own thing? I was like, my class is here. There's plenty of people around. Surely I'll find someone else to hang out with. So that's what I did. I parted ways with them. I just went walking. Underestimated the size of the park. I didn't come across anyone I knew for some time. So I got in ride to do the Spider-Man ride, which if you ever are in Islands of Adventure, do it. It's so amazing. I don't think they've updated it in years, but it is still...
They don't need to.
Yeah. A true classic never goes out of style, right?
Just like the Terminator.
It's
in 3D, everybody.
No, that needs to be gone if it isn't.
I would say that ride is awesome as the Spider-Man ride is. I actually enjoy staying in line in that. It's like you're going through all like the offices of like.
Yes, it's cool. You're at like the Daily Bugle.
Yeah.
It's like the actual line.
It's a nice touch.
It's a moving cart, but you have the 3D glasses on too, so the characters are on the cart with you. Like Venom's tongue is in your face. The Goblin's right flying in front of you. It's cool.
That like augmented coaster thing is right.
Exactly. I won't spoil the whole thing for you, but I guarantee it's on YouTube.
Sure.
And anyway, so again, my dilemma. I've left my friends behind at the Incredible Hulk roller coaster. I'm standing in line at the Spider-Man ride and come across three what I would just call Florida brats. And dropped
name
off
of
there
band,
in the morning by their parents, makeshift babysitting, you know? But they seemed to be about my age and seemed to be fairly nice. So I was like, okay, I'm going to roll with these guys for a little while. About 20 minutes later, I find them intolerable. And we are walking toward Jurassic Park, and I see a classmate coming my way, who I'm just going to call Bill for the sake of the story here. I'm like, oh, Bill, my salvation. I got to get to Bill, you know? So I could have turned to these fine people and just said, thanks for humoring me, entertaining me. See some of my friends. I got to go. But no, I waited until he looked the other way, and I just ran. That's what I did. I can't explain why I did.
Like a true hero.
Right into the open arms of Bill, my salvation. 20 minutes later, I find Bill intolerable. And I'm like, I gotta do something about this. So I see in the front of Jurassic Park, there's a big lake right in the middle of the park there that has a boat going from three points where if you don't want to rock around the entire park, around the lake, you can get on the boat. It's like, Bill, we gotta do this boat. So we get on and we're sitting there and I'm keeping close eye on the captain who's closing the chain, getting ready to take off. And as soon as I see him grab for that chain, I'm like, Bill, I gotta go throw away my Coke can. I'm sorry, I forgot. I'll be right back. I jump out and I say, you can go ahead and go. I'm not going to do it. And the last thing I remember is seeing a Bill about this big getting smaller with a confused look on his face looking on. I was like, I don't know, dude. I'll meet you on the other side. I never did.
Bill was never seen again.
A window into the fickle asshole I was or am. I don't know. Maybe.
You've toned it down quite a bit.
Any other amusement park stories before we move on? Anything you guys want to share? All right, moving right along. It was this month in 1992.
Let's talk about what really matters.
Really deviating away from what we've been talking about here is this month in 1992, the Golden Girls final episode aired. Do we have any Golden Girls fans in the house here? No? Okay, all awesome. Right. Come on, Chris.
I never watched the Golden Girls.
Come on. You would.
You had to have seen something. You had to have seen some of it.
I love B. Arthur.
Thank you. She was amazing, and she was my favorite part of that show. I mean, I think that a lot of the humor was really ahead of its time.
Absolutely.
In that show.
Because it holds up today.
It does. I mean,
you could probably start watching the show right now, and you'd be like, okay, I get it.
He jokes, but honestly, you can. I mean, I've been watching it within the last year and have seen a joke on there. I'm like, wow, I can't believe they did that on the Golden Girls, you know? But they did, and I love it. But also the cult following... Come on, I love the Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
The cult following that it's ensued in the meantime, board games, coloring books. You've seen a Lego set of
I'll
their
never
whole
forgive
house.
Myself Concept for not Lego buying set, that coloring
yeah.
book.
Pops. Yeah.
Do they have Pops?
They do have Pops. I've seen them, yeah.
Link's got
the whole set. Oh, he's a smart man. I didn't know they had those.
Of course he does.
Wonderful. I want full-on action figures. Pops don't cut it for me, but
Kung
full-on
grip.
Golden Girls action
Six
figures.
6-inch.
Yeah.
Blanche and Rose and...
Anybody who's been to my place has seen a wall full of action figures. Come on, you can contest. Can you imagine? Spider-Man, Drax the Destroyer, Dorothy and Ma, right up there in the lineup. Come on.
They combine like Voltron. Or like every Golden Girls action figure has one limb of Thanos. And
there
you collect
it is.
The whole set.
Even more attractive to me now. Yeah, I dig it.
Was that show for sure?
Yeah.
Oh,
easily. Ooh. Without a doubt, I believe so.
Rose.
No question.
Rose is holding Mjolnir. Thor's hammer is Mjolnir, for those who might not be aware. But yeah, Rose is the only one. You know Blanche is not holding that thing.
Come on.
Too many late night, well.
One day her sins will catch up.
Golden Girl fans here? Anybody? I mean, I think I've already asked that, but anything to say on the Golden Girls?
The only reason I looked into the Golden Girls when I was younger is because they mentioned B. Arthur in the movie Airheads.
Oh, my God, yes.
And one of them is a naked picture of B. Arthur. And then later a record exec walks by and just goes, B. Arthur. Oh. So because of that, I was like, who's B. Arthur?
I've never had the desire to see B. Arthur nude, but yeah,
no, yeah. I thought, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I think that was the point of the request.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right, right.
Whether you're a fan of the show or not, you recognize living national treasure, Betty White.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Probably the human being who is purest of spirit.
Who has figured out the planet. Secret to eternal life.
She's just apparently got husks of children piling up in her basement.
She just sucks their power from them every day.
I know, right? Literally, fully. It works, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we found out Keith Richards was doing it, we'd be like,
Yeah, he's doing a lot of things that should have killed him years ago. But it's like
he's going to outlive all of us.
It's like we were talking about before the show, like on The Simpsons, Mr. Burns has all these diseases that would kill any normal man, but there's so many of them in flux that they keep each other at bay. So, right. Some fun facts about the Golden Girls. Estelle Getty, who played Ma, who looked to be the oldest, was actually the youngest of the cast. Can you believe
it? I didn't know that till you told me. I just assumed the makeup work was really solid, I guess.
That it was. And Jack, I remember you said you had some things to bring to the table on the Golden Girls.
Yeah, originally Bea Arthur wasn't going to be, what was her name, Dorothy in the show?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because she was popular because of Maude, but nobody really loved her because of Maude. And all the views.
Yeah,
she
wasn't a likable character in Maude, was she?
Kind of getting like Archie Bunker to play, I don't know, some lovable character.
Right. Did they have any like runners up for who would have played?
They had somebody else, but she dropped the F-bomb during her audition, so they were immediately like, nope.
Would have spiced the show up for me, in my opinion. See one of the Golden Girls drop the F-bomb over some cheesecake?
A man can
dream. Also, the Queen of England loved the Golden Girls. Go figure.
Right. One thing I never understood about the Golden Girls was the way the series ended. The last episode was Dorothy marrying Leslie Nielsen, and then the two of them whisking off to their happily ever after.
But was it Leslie Nielsen?
It was Leslie Nielsen. I thought it was Stan, but it wasn't. It wasn't. Oh. I went back and looked. But I know too much about Golden Girls, don't I? Yeah, I think that's what this panel is accomplishing here. But no, she left her mom with Blanche and Rose. She didn't take her mother along with her.
Here, take care of my very elderly mother for me.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the spinoff to Golden Girls, Golden Palace. Does anyone here heard of Golden Palace? No.
Featuring
you have.
Don Cheadle. Yeah.
Yes.
A young, very young Don Cheadle.
The premise of this show was Blanche, Rose, and Ma, who Blanche and Rose are now burdened with, are purchasing
her slow descent into dementia.
Are purchasing a hotel from a young Don Cheadle who can't get it going anymore. So he's kind of, what's he become, like the bellboy?
Yeah, he's sort of like, he's like the concierge. She's running the operation more or less.
Sure. And another person in this show is Cheech Marin. I mean, when you think of Golden Girls, you think stoner comedy, right?
Yeah, oh,
right?
Easily.
No. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Oh, there it is.
They've got to take all their pills, and he does other stuff.
He provides said pills.
Yeah.
So check it out. If you've never seen Golden Palace, look on YouTube. It's worth looking into.
If only because it's so bizarre.
So bizarre, and got under so many people's radars, including my own. I didn't find out until recently about that, so... Anyway, where are we at here? Well, we're doing pretty
good.
Chugging
right along.
Let's just jump right in and talk about some comics, I guess.
Here. Let's do it, yeah.
Another segment we do on the show is the Comic Vault, which is kind of like a comic show and tell. We just go around talking about a comic we've read recently and hope you guys like it. So
now, mind you, at one point it was called the Comic Dunk Bin.
Dung bin.
The dump bin.
Might as well have been called the dump
I'm
bin.
I'm nervous. And due to a little bit of a language barrier, we gave one of our guests the impression it was for bad comics only. Mm-hmm.
and felt just terrible about it. So,
it was like, I really love this poor book. I don't want to dump on it, you know? Yeah. And we were like,
No.
It was this guy straight from Italy. He's like, it's a very good comic. I'm like, no. It's
sounded just like Mario.
Like, no. We like it.
So now it's the comic vault, you know, where you put valuable things.
Yes, things you like. So, who would like to start? Okay, I'll start.
Go ahead.
No, the comic I have this week is a comic that I have brought to the show before several times, yeah, mainly to torment these two guys because it's just so freaking ridiculous. But it's called The Human Fly, and this is not to be confused with The Human Fly Spider-Man villain. This is a completely different entity. He is a stuntman. And what I guess is kind of appealing about this is he's very Adam West Batman-ish in this book, where everybody knows who the Human Fly is. If there's ever a problem, why, you call on the Human Fly. There's nothing he can't accomplish.
The idea that he's a vigilante or, like, somehow operating outside the law is not even addressed. He's just, Human Fly?
That's what's interesting about it. They're marketing him here as a superhero on top of a stuntman. But what I've gathered through reading these books is unless you're in peril at a Human Fly event, you're probably not going to get saved by the Human Fly. Getting mugged downtown, pray for Spider-Man to come.
If he's jumping a school bus three blocks down, you're just going to have to endure a mugging.
This is the guy come to help you. And boy, he's overcome some pretty big feats. As you can see here, he's diving off of the snowmobile that he's jumping over a gorge to tackle a grizzly bear about to attack a blind boy. Tell me that doesn't sound Adam West Batman, right?
That ticks every box on the hero's checklist.
Right. But the reason that I decided, this comic's coming home with me, is because across the top it says, the wildest superhero ever because he's real. I thought, what's that mean? So I looked into it, and this guy really existed. The Human Fly really existed. It goes by the name Rick Roget. And I don't think he ever, like, showed his face in public. He had a very kiss thing happening,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. He was, but married to the character, you know.
And he did some stunts. He did a few. His big thing was he was like the Canadian Evil Knievel, as you can see by his outfit here. Yeah. But all the white you see on his outfit in real life was very, very vibrant sequins. Tons.
You got to have some brass balls to pull off a look like that.
That you do. That's the biggest stunt of all, if you ask me.
Making the sequins work.
But you can look him up on YouTube and find interviews. Like, he's been on talk shows. Again, these are from, like, the late 70s. But he really had a distaste for Evel Knievel. Did not like this guy at all. So I started looking into it. One of the stunts he did was he strapped himself to the top of a 747 airplane that took off, circled around maybe like 5 to 10 minutes just around the airport, and then landed again. When they landed, he was full of bruises and unconscious because they went through a sprinkling of rain. Now, at those speeds, that's going to mess somebody up and mess him up. So a few weeks later after recovery, they did it again. Check the weather forecast this time, which seems like a solid.
You would think you'd do that
the first time, but
look, I don't organize.
I'm not a stuntman, so what do I know? And the second time he did it successfully. Then for the stunt that I think ended his career, which I think was his big second stunt, was he was lining up a bunch of cars or buses or trucks, very much in the same fashion as Evel Knievel, but he added like one or two more cars just to stick it to him a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Well, he cleared them, but when he landed, he went sideways and hit all kinds of people and things he should not have hit. And it really messed him up. And I think that's what made him walk away from the stunt profession. But looking on the inside of this comic here, right across the top, this guy's origins are in tragedy. In one night in 1971, on a lonely North Carolina highway, a head-on car crash cost a young driver his family and very nearly his life. Hardly a bone in his body remained unbroken. Doctors were sure that he would never move again, but he triumphed over his disability and went on to become the wildest superhero of all, the Human Fly.
So he's basically Kick-Ass.
That's my point. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm getting at. I feel like he's the inspiration for Kick-Ass.
The man who was
reconstructed with metal rods, wire, and can now take a beating and is now a stuntman.
That's a hell of an origin story. When you've endured so much physical trauma, you just can't feel it anymore.
But anyway, that's really all I have on the Human Fly. I just found the backstory very interesting. Look it up on YouTube. Check him out. He's definitely something to burn some minutes if you're bored. But man,
That human fly evil Knievel. It's like the best rivalry that one person was not aware of in the rivalry.
That's exactly what it was, too. The human who? Who is this?
Oh, is he Canadian? Look, I got some stuff to do.
But that's my comic, so who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
I was about to say, Jack, why don't you take this one? But if you want to be an
asshole. Oh, thanks, Jake. I'll go ahead and go. Anyone heard of the music group Starset? They're a local band. They're from Columbus. No. They're so good. Nobody knows about them.
They are good.
Yeah.
They are very good. Yes.
They play music.
Yeah. A couple months ago, we had the lead singer on our show. He wrote a novel called The Prox Transmissions that Marvel picked up and turned it into a graphic novel. And it's about a astronomer that he's down on his luck pretty much. His wife's trying to divorce him. He wakes up one day, well, he got in trouble at the university he teaches at because he slept with one of his students. Apparently that's a
faux pas. That'll do it.
But he wakes up one day in a bathroom, passed out, woke up, didn't know how he was in there. Guy was banging on the door, you know, I need to use it, get out of here. So he gets up, tries to figure out what happened the nights before and how he got there. He ends up walking home to find out that somebody else lives in that house. They know who he is, and they said, no, you signed the lease over, you know, a month ago. But you said that you would come over here and do this, so here's a note you left. So he opens up the note, and it says to shave his head. So he goes into the bathroom, shaves his head, finds numbers on tattooed on the side of his head.
We've all been there.
I was going to say, didn't you get that note?
Yeah. That's he finds out, figures out that it's a location. So he ends up going to the local telescope.
Planetarium.
Yeah. Finds out that there is a transmission coming from space that is giving blueprints and pretty much telling them that they need to build this machine that's going to save the future, basically. Turns into a whole, I want to say it's like a Bourne identity where there's nobody you can trust. A big adventure that you get a bunch of people together. I don't know. It was a good read.
It was a good read. We got to check it out when we had Dustin Bates, the lead singer and the creator of this book, on the show. But to accompany this story, the band Starset, the music loops in a lot with what you read here.
Yeah.
And they assume characters on stage, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Kind of in the same fashion of like Daft Punk, where they have lights on their face and everything. They're really, really cool band. You should check them out.
Yeah, the whole band is set up with spacesuits that they get on wires and fly around. The light show is incredible.
They fly around.
Wow. They've got an augmented reality set up at their concerts, which is interesting if you're looking through your phone.
They're not concerts, they're demonstrations.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. They're intergalactic transmissions.
Basically, they're trying to spread the word of technology that it's evil and bad at the same time, and to use technology for actual good instead of selling it to the big corporations that will make all the money and make the poor people sad and lonely, basically, because they can't work with the technology. It's
right. Fusion energy instead of smartphones, I guess.
Yeah.
You should check it out, though. It is a good book and a good band, a lot of solid music. You should go back to, I don't remember what episode it was in our catalog, but if you go into iTunes or something, type in Candair, Starset, you should be able to find it and find out what they're about. It was a great book, though. Good choice. Then there was one.
Go ahead and go, Jake.
Guys, I want to talk to you about possibly the finest name for a comic I've ever seen, God Hates Astronauts.
Hard to argue.
Wow, what a title.
Hard to argue.
This, you know what? Let me let this little review blurb on the front say it all. This is from Jonathan Hickman of the Manhattan Projects. It says, I don't want to oversell what Ryan, the creator, has accomplished here, but I gave God Hates Astronauts to a blind man, and he regained his sight. This is, without hyperbole, the strangest and most utterly brilliant comic I think I have ever read. The quality of the writing and the concepts at work is in such stark contrast to the utter absurdity of it, I can't sing its praises highly enough. What I'd like to do is introduce you to just some of the fine features of this comic rather than the storyline itself. It has a suggested voice talent page here at the front.
You can't go wrong with that.
Where it lists all the major characters and how best they should sound in your head. Let me just go through a few of them. We've got Starfighter, the main character, who they suggest John C. Reilly would be the ideal match. His wife, Starrier, a crude portmanteau of star and warrior, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Their buddy here in the weird BDSM gear, that's Anti-Mugger. A man who hates muggers so much he's based his entire identity on seeking them out and destroying them. Well, that's Burt Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, nice.
And my personal favorite, this guy here, it's almost impossible for you to see. He's basically just a set of jaws with flashlights on the side. That's Kramok, voiced by Rip Torn, apparently. His little blurb in the introduction here is possibly the greatest thing in all Christendom. It says, Kramok, friend to all, understood by none. Primal ape strength and rechargeable laser eyes of some kind. So they're just not interested. Rounding out their team is this upside-down face gray silhouette called the Impossible. And her superpower is that she can perform the impossible in context-specific ways. In one situation, we see her hanging upside down out of frame behind an enemy, only to break their neck. The person yells, "Impossible!" And she says, "Yeah, that's the point." Let me give you a quick rundown of the storyline here. It's called God Hates Astronauts because... playing off that cultural touchstone, The Astronaut Farmer, everyone's favorite film.
I loved that film personally. It was great. It was great.
I didn't see it.
You didn't?
No.
Billy Bob Thornton, check it out.
Okay. So good.
May I?
I am so sorry. Continue.
Sure. No, by all means.
Wow. Wow.
So space travel is becoming increasingly privatized by farmers, of all people, who took Billy Bob's example and decided, if he can do it, so can I. Now, here's the problem. For our band of intrepid heroes, the Justice League equivalent of this setting, they are funded by NASA, who's now being defunded by all of these privatized space programs because of all these upstart farmers building their own spacecraft. Thus, they declare war on astronaut farmers to eliminate them, to restore funding to NASA, to restore funding to their organization. And boy, it only gets weirder from there. Where they meet characters like, what's his name? Admiral Tiger Eating a Cheeseburger? James Earl Jones.
Who's, perfect.
Who is a regal tiger, always a cheeseburger in hand, always one bite taken out of the cheeseburger. Does it regenerate? Does he have an unlimited supply of cheeseburgers? These are questions we'll never have the answer to. And let me just conclude with, I think, my favorite joke in the book. The main character, the gigantic bloated head you see right here, is Star Warrior, who is invulnerable, like unto Superman. He gets beaten so savagely by a supervillain in the very first fight that his skull is powdered. And his head begins to swell to something like two or three times the size of his body, but he can't die because he's immortal. The surgeon operating, quote unquote, on him says, "Look, I can try to piece his head back together, but at this point, it'd be like gluing together sand." That's the quality of writing you can come to expect from God Hates Astronauts. This is one of three. I swear they only get better. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. Stop what you're doing after the show. Read God Hates Astronauts by Ryan Brown. It says right here, Ryan Brown's shockingly questionable God Hates Astronauts. Volume 1, The Head That Wouldn't Die.
Sounds awesome.
Incredible.
I think the best part about this comic is just having that list of celebrities to hear their voice. Because
what a stroke of genius that
it
is.
It adds so much to the reading experience, and I think makes it even a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you more identity for that character.
Right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Put that suggestion in your head. There's no getting away from it.
All right. Where are we at? We are about 5 more minutes here. I think we can wrap it up.
I think
all right.
So.
Awesome. Well, guys, I want to thank you all for coming out. This has been a lot of fun. Can't thank you enough for being here. But
yeah,
before
it really
we end,
means a lot.
Jack, what do we have on our website?
You go to canedairpodcast.com. You can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media. Click the link to follow our YouTube page. Check out our special guest page. Click the link to follow our merch page. And if you'd like to be a guest, well, I guess if you do any comic books and stuff like that, you can send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget, guys, that is at CannedAirPod on Twitter and at Canned_Air on Instagram. And if you like what we do, Patreon, couple of bucks a month. Seems like it couldn't help at all. You have no idea how far that goes toward boosting our fractured confidence. So... By all means, throw us your pocket change. Hit that $5 a month or more mark, and you have access to the Founders Club, Patreon only, super chill. It's almost like a backstage quality, right? That's what we're shooting for.
Yeah,
You're just talking with your bros.
But at the same time, it's more lax. You're like you're saying, backstage, in the green room, if you will.
Like you left on the microphone and you're peeping in on us. Audio-wise.
Do they know they're being recorded right now? This is weird.
I don't know if you guys have had this problem. My hands have felt awkward this whole time.
I don't know
what do I do with my hands. I'm just going to kind of
part of me.
Do this. Here we are.
Anyway, thanks, guys.
Another quick thing before we end. I just wanted to say we're looking at starting another show up. So another show that focuses on strange, weird, unexplained stories that anyone might have. So if you have a said story, fits criteria, hit us up on one of these contacts over here and let us know. We'd love to get you on the show and record.
And people have asked, like, oh, I don't have any supernatural. Does it have? It doesn't have to be supernatural. No. If it is, all the better. All we want are things that have happened to you or a friend, something you know well enough to retell in all its detail that make you go,
That was weird.
Yeah.
Things that make you go, right?
Yeah. That's the tagline. It's terrible. Yeah.
I think that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for coming out to the Columbus Podcast Festival and sitting through our podcast here. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
And here. I think I might have the answer to the
All right, and there you have it, our performance at the Columbus Podcast Festival 2018. Success, guys, right?
I'd have to say so.
Yeah, I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to doing more. You know, I think the Wizard World shows are going to be kind of a thing we can always count on. Yeah, and I hope we can get back into that festival next year, if not with this show, then maybe our new series, What If?
What if we have both shows on the ticket?
What if indeed, Jay?
But which would take the main stage? Probably neither. Yeah. Probably neither.
All right. Confidence is the first step.
One would happen on the small stage, the other one just in our minds.
On the smaller stage.
The stage in our minds.
All the world's a stage, Jay.
This is true.
We are merely players.
This is true. Jack, what do we have on the website?
You go to canned air podcast.com. You can check out our special guests, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media. Check out the Hall of Heroes to see the Wall of Justice, see some of our YouTube videos, send us a comment or a complaint. And I think that's it. Oh, there's a merch button.
Oh, yeah.
Buy some merch.
You want a t-shirt to wear the next time you come see us, to rep us, so we can look out in the audience and see you and be like, That's the person.
We'll make an example of you on stage.
We're going to bring you up on stage. Yeah. It's going to be embarrassing.
Well, maybe not.
Your mom's not going to be proud.
We're just going to like kind of squint our eyes, smile slightly, and nod our head in our direction.
They know. And once more, that is at Canned Air Pod on Twitter and at @canned_air on Instagram. Check us out on Patreon and Wizard World. Use our code. Canned Air, lowercase, no space, and save some money.
There it is.
It's kind of a no-brainer. I don't know why I need to sell this idea to you.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you want a discount?
All right.
Come on.
You may not clip coupons,
I hope you feel terrible.
Use a promo code.
This is far less effort. You don't even have to pick up the scissors. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Let us know what you thought of this episode on Twitter. We are just waiting on the edge of our seats.
Or don't book you.
Either way. All right. But until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Jake Runyon.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Outside.
Blowtorch!
Whenever there's a fire in your house, be sure to get outside immediately. And once outside, get on cannedairpodcast.com.
Well, thanks for the tip, Blowtorch, but just one question. What about the fire?
And no one is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
What? Okay.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.